Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Thomas Rickert speaking, one of the three co-chairs of the CCWG, and I'd like to welcome all of you to this face-to-face meeting of the CCWG Accountability at ICANN 61. I would like not only to welcome the attendees in this room, some of which are still going to their seats, but also a warm welcome to the remote participants. Thank you in particular to the remote participants, because it's always much more challenging to follow such a long session remotely. Thank you so much for your energy, for your interest in this important topic, and I hope that we're going to have a very interesting, fruitful, and good working day together. Now, I do not know whether I have scroll control. I don't think I have. If somebody could please move that slide in the Adobe room.
What do you want?
The schedule.
All right.
The next thing is agenda bash.
There we go.
As you can see, the first topic on the agenda next to coffee, which certainly is the most important topic for everyone at this time of the day, is the review of the agenda. You see the agenda in front of you, and I should say that we already got one request from Cavus to move things slightly with respect to the second reading of the jurisdiction report. Our suggestion would be to try to keep the agenda as is, because our great Bernie has kindly put UTC starting times next to all the agenda items, and we do think that particularly the remote participants expect us to start and stop on time. While there might be changes to the agenda based on our discussions today, what I would really like to avoid is mixing things around before we even start. There is a speciality about this jurisdiction topic, because we have that on the agenda twice. You will have seen that Bernie has made this abundantly clear on our behalf yesterday on the mailing list. This is somewhat unusual for our working practices, but in order to be able to make things on time for the final report, we need to be somewhat flexible. I expect our substantive discussion on the jurisdiction final report, or at least the changes to it, and there are not too many substantial changes, I should say. I expect the substantive discussion to take place during the first part of our discussion. I do not expect any additional debate during the second part. The second part, which I think is agenda item number 11, the second reading should be a mere formality. Those who have things to say on jurisdiction should make sure they say them during the first session. If, for example, they want to put on the record an objection or an additional remark, which they want to make at the second part, make it during the first session, and we will make sure that we read it into the record of the meeting for the second half of that meeting. I hope that this is something that works for everyone, which actually would be great. Let me open it up to the floor and to the remote participants to make additional comments on the agenda, if any. I see Cavus's hand is raised and then Sebastian. Cavus, you go first, please.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening to all of you.
Categorically rejected. Thank you.
Cavus, maybe it's only me. I'm looking at my co-chairs. I had a very hard time understanding what you were saying, and the captioning didn't really work. I need somebody's help. I repeat. Please do repeat.
To attend remotely at the second reading of jurisdiction. That is why I have asked exceptionally, humbly, and respectfully to move it a little bit earlier within the first 2.5 or 3 hours in order that I could attend at the second reading. But it seems that this request was rejected. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Tavus, I would suggest that we see how we're doing. I outlined the general response that we had to offer on this. If we're doing extremely quickly, then we might be able to honor that request. Thanks very much. I see Sebastian's hand is raised as well. Sebastian, over to you.
Thank you very much. Sebastian speaking for transcript purposes. Sebastian Bachelet. First of all, I don't think that Anthony Vancouvering, either that Olga Cavalli was talking before in this arena. It must be Cavus, all these three items. Just be careful to give your name before, because at the end of the day, your name will not be recorded the right way if it's happened not to be your name here. Sorry for that. And my point, and I would like to apologize, I was not very concentrated on the preparation of this meeting today, but I wanted to understand where we will discuss what I call overarching issue or cross subtopic issue or whatever name we want to give them, because I have the impression we jump directly to planning going forward after the public consultation. But before the public consultation, we need to create the document. And the document will be with all the documents made by the subgroup, but there will be one part must be done by us to create those items where there are discussion between subgroup or new items or whatever who are dealing with cross with overarching issue. And I don't see where it will be discussed. And I understand that then we will have to discuss how it goes to public consultation and what will be the work that we will have to do after that. In the same vein, when I think we need also to have some discussion about the implementation phase of the Workstream 2 work, because when our work will be finished, I would say it will just start to be implemented, and I guess our participation or some of us will be needed, therefore we need to think about that also. And sorry to not have sent that by mail before the meeting. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. No apology required. You made great points. First of which is we need to make sure that the captioning is corrected, because Anthony Vancouvering, as much as we would like him in the room, is definitely not here. So let's take this as an encouragement and a reminder to state our names clearly before we speak. My name is Thomas Rickert, so that we can get that corrected in the chat. The other point is about the report and how the report is put together. And Sebastian, I suggest that we discuss this when we get to discussing the final report, which I think is at... Bernie, you need to help me. At 11, isn't it?
After lunch.
The first item after lunch, Sebastian. So that's where we're going to discuss how we're going to put everything together. And we also have a session on the next steps. That's planning going forward after the public consultation. That is actually the last session before we break for lunch, between 11 and 12 a.m. local time, 15 to 16 UTC, and that's where we're going to discuss how we can have some impact on the implementation. So just double-checking, Sebastian, so these three points you know, the attribution of comments has been covered, and the two other points are going to be touched upon in the last session before lunch and the first session after lunch. Great. So there are no additional hands. Let's then take the schedule as adopted and move to the next slide, please. Introduction update to SOIs. Do we have any updates to statements of interest? There don't seem to be any. Should you have any, you know you can do that on the ICANN website. It's no problem at all to have an interest. You just need to declare which interest you represent. In terms of introduction, I think I've covered that already. I mean, we've had a lot of these meetings, and let me say, although we are slightly fewer people than before the transition, I'd really like to applaud all of you for having the stamina to go through this with us as a team. I mean, this is really remarkable. I think it's been unprecedented in ICANN. You know, this is really an Herculean task, and you guys made this possible, and this might be the last but one time we're going to have a meeting such as this. It may already be over at ICANN 62. Who would have thought that? There will be a big vacuum for everyone. So I hope that we're going to jointly overcome the trauma. Maybe we're going to have a fake CCWG, an unofficial CCWG session at ICANN 63 so that we can jointly get through that difficult phase of emptiness. But before we do, let's try to survive this and get our recommendations through. So next slide, please. ICANN expected standards of behavior. We are reminding everyone of those standards each and every time. And some of you just see the slides with the nice visualizations and just forget about them soon again. This is actually important stuff. This is the basis for us working amicably together. So even though you know everything that's on there, it's worthwhile taking a closer look at what's in it so that we can all take it to heart and work even more collegially together as we move on. Next slide, please. Okay, so on administration, what's that?
I'm chairing this.
I'm going to hand over to Jordan.
Thomas has clearly got a flight brain this morning, or maybe it's the GDPR, but we're gonna share this burden. My name is Jordan Carter, one of the other co-chairs, .NZ, for the CCNSO, running you quickly through two administrative items. The first is the plenary dates going forward. A schedule there is on the screen in front of you, and the point of these meetings is not necessarily that we're going to all need to do all of these meetings, but that it is better to schedule them so we have the time if we need it to deal with the public comments that will come in on the presentation of the integrated report, and if we don't need the meetings, we'll cancel them. It's a long-standing way of operating that we schedule and cancel rather than not schedule and then have to add meetings at the last minute. So that's a kind of weekly cycle from a point that starts after the closing of the public comments, heading up towards a face-to-face meeting in Panama. The next bullet point there is about that. Don't forget that applications for travel funding to the Panama meeting close on Monday the 19th of March at the end of the day UTC. And the same applicability rules apply as have applied through the last few trips that we've done. Bernie, is there anything you want to add on either of those two points?
Simply on the plenary dates going forward, we've estimated when we plan to have the public consultation completed, and so that's why we've included those weekly meetings there. And as Jordan has said, if we don't need them, great, we'll just cancel them, but better to have them scheduled than not. For the travel funding, our process is so well rounded, if you will, that we expect that we'll probably be sending in the information to ICANN Travel probably on the 20th or the 21st of March, given we are used to getting this all together for them very easily. Thank you.
Now I'll hand over to Tijani to do the budget update.
Thank you very much. My name is Tijani Benjema. I am the third co-chair from ELAC. Okay, for the budget, you will see that we were very good. We didn't spend a lot, and we are. I think we managed very, very good the issue of the budget, and Bernie will give us the details of that.
Thank you, Tijani. Can we have the budget slide up, please? Thank you. Uncertain if you can really read that, but the point is we continue to do very well with the community side of the budget. The ICANN side, we're basically on track. And so, you know, we'll be glad to take questions, but we continue to be, if you will, our up to now good management of our resources from the community point of view. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Now for the next point will be the jurisdiction, and I give the floor to Thomas.
Yes, and for that one, Greg, do you want to come up on the podium? So this is going to be the first reading of the final recommendations after the public consultation. You all have received two documents, one of which is the clean version of the jurisdiction report and then the markup version of the jurisdiction report. We have not prepared slides to highlight the changes, but I would hope that all of you have the jurisdiction report in front of you. And my suggestion would be, Greg, that we walk through the red line version and that you briefly talk the group through the changes that have been made. It's already on his screen, as I can see. So over to you, Greg. I would suggest that we go through the changes one by one and pause after the changes, after your introduction of the change, briefly to see whether there's any question or comment from the floor.
Thank you, Thomas, and thank you, everyone. We'll just dive directly in. Hopefully you have the red line version in front of you. It's in an email from Bernie that came relatively recently. So the first change, of course, is that the date is changed on the front cover from November 2017 to March 2018. Just the inexorable passage of time. The first change of any substance is on page 3 in the section, this is in the executive summary, summarizing the recommendations. The heading for the OFAC sanctions related portion says recommendations relating to OFAC sanctions and related sanctions issues. This is reflected in the text with a slight...
Can we have it on screen? Sorry to interrupt. Can we have it on screen?
We're working on it. The version that you're asking for the document to be up on screen? Yeah. Brenda, who is working our Adobe room so perfectly, she has a file with the redline version, but it's corrupt. So we need to get her the... a fresh version of the document, so it's going to be up in the Adobe momentarily. Thanks for your patience.
I hope that's just a coincidence that it's been corrupted.
Well, we're talking about the document, not about the rapporteur.
Yeah. In any case, I am uncorruptible. My PayPal, by the way, is... Oh, sorry. Anyway. So this is reflected in the text, which is really just to add a footnote, actually. The word particularly is crossed out just because of the way redlining works. And let me read the footnote to the particularly OFAC sanctions. In the future, if ICANN's activities are affected by other similar sanctions, e.g., similar in scope, type, and effect, and with similar methods of relief for entities not specifically sanctioned, the spirit of these recommendations should guide ICANN's approach. I'm not following the Adobe. So if there's anything that goes on there, I should know. I didn't bring a second screen with me, sorry. So that is the first change. The second change on that same page is in the footnote to the term best efforts, which has now been added. There was quite a bit of discussion about what best efforts means and whether it includes the concept of reasonableness inherent or if you need to qualify it explicitly. We found a middle path, which the footnote, I think, reflects. The footnote reads as follows. The term best efforts, as used throughout this report, should be understood to be limited by reasonableness, meaning that an entity, here ICANN, must use its best efforts except for any efforts that would be unreasonable. For example, the entity can take into account its fiscal health and its fiduciary duties and any other relevant facts and circumstances. In some jurisdictions, this limitation is inherent in the use and meaning of the term best efforts. However, in other jurisdictions, this may not be the case, and thus it is necessary to explicitly state the limitation for the benefit of those in such jurisdictions. Moving on, the next change is on page 5 of the red line, and it's in the summary of the OFAC and sanctions recommendation for approval of GTLD registries. Previously, the report stated that the subgroup recommends that ICANN should commit to applying for and using best efforts to secure an OFAC license for all such applicants if the applicant is otherwise qualified. This has been changed slightly so that it now reads if the applicant would otherwise be approved. Moving on, the next change is in the middle of page 6. Not really substantive, but just a little bit more of a transitional sentence or a note to the reader. In the choice of law and venue provisions in the registry agreement, after we state that the subgroup identified several alternative approaches for the registry agreement, we now also say that the body of the report discusses the advantages and disadvantages of each approach. Rather than summarizing that discussion here in the executive summary, we just point the reader to the full text for those discussions. The next change is at the top of page 7. Regarding the adoption or how we would like to see the or how we would recommend that a menu be adopted, a menu of potential choices of jurisdictions for choice of law. We've kept the first sentence, which reads, the subgroup has not determined what the menu items should be, but believes there should be a balance between the advantages and disadvantages of having different governing laws apply to the same base RA, which likely suggests having a relatively limited number of choices on the menu. Previously, we stated, the subgroup has also not determined how options will be chosen from the menu, e.g., the registry could simply choose from the menu, or it could be negotiated with ICANN. This has now been changed to reflect a preference, and now reads, the subgroup recommends that the registry choose from among the options on the menu, i.e., the choice would not be negotiated with ICANN.
Greg?
Yes.
Steve Del Bianco, just would you take a quick question on that? I fully support that edit. And for clarification, I would presume then that ICANN Legal wouldn't put things on the menu unless it was fully prepared to agree to them, should a registry pick from among the menu. That's the whole point of avoiding the negotiation step, is that ICANN would pre-select menu items that it was prepared to accept. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Our report does not actually recommend how the menu is developed. We expect that one potential model is that it be, in essence, the list be negotiated with ICANN so that everything is pre-cleared. But that is not a foregone conclusion. Perhaps it might be a little too cavalier to call that an implementation detail, but nonetheless, the door is open for any number of variations one could imagine, and we've left that for subsequent work. Practically speaking, it would make sense if you have the choice of the contracted party to be able to freely choose. The list should be from one that does not cause heartburn and has been pre-cleared. But stranger things have happened than that.
Thanks. Thanks for the question, Greg, and for your response, Steve and Greg, sorry. So I guess this is an ideal point to bear in mind when we talk about how to implement the Workstream 2 recommendations, because it quite nicely shows that, you know, the group has come up with several options. The group has identified the menu option as a preferred option, because that's the one where it says the sub-team supports. For the others, it says other possibilities are. But then the question is, you know, how do you deal with these different options where the Workstream 2 sub-team has preferred the menu option, and then within the menu option you still have a lot of variety when it comes to implementation. How can this be operationalized? We think that that this is something for the board to discuss with the community in terms of prioritization, budget allocation, and so on and so forth. So we're going to discuss this later during this day. But I guess, you know, those are examples where all of us need to think about meaningful ways to help ICANN, the organization, kick off this process with the community to come to meaningful results.
Thank you, Thomas. And just to mention an additional layer of complexity, since we're talking about changes to the base RA and base RAA, there are processes that have been agreed on how those will be dealt with, primarily by the contracted parties and by ICANN. So this is not necessarily a recommendation that can be adopted by ICANN's board agreeing to it. So this is really, in a sense, has a level of being advisory as opposed to binding, but clearly the will of the community, should this be approved, is clear. Moving on, the next substantive change is on page 12. All of the ones in between were just changes in the typography of the document, pagination and the like. In this section, we summarize what happened between November and March so that we could update the work of the subgroup since the previous document was published. This reads as follows. The subgroup's proposed recommendations were submitted to the CCWG Accountability Plenary. The CCWG Accountability WS2 Plenary meeting on 27 October 2017 included a discussion focused on jurisdiction issues. The draft report was approved by consensus as defined in the CCWG Accountability Charter and not by full consensus. Footnote there, to our charter, section 5A, full consensus, a position where no minority disagrees, identified by an absence of objection. B, consensus, a position where a small minority disagrees, but most agree. In the absence of full consensus, the chairs should allow for the submission of minority viewpoints, and these, along with the consensus view, shall be included in the report. Picking back up in the text, the government of Brazil, which did not support approving the report, prepared a dissenting opinion, which is supported by several other participants and can be found in Annex E of the report. A transcript of the plenary discussions is included as Annex F to this report. As a result of these discussions, the section, Further Discussions of Jurisdiction-Related Concerns, was added to the draft report, suggesting a path forward for these concerns beyond the CCWG accountability through a further other multi-stakeholder process. The draft report was published for public comment on November 14, 2017. The public comment period closed on January 14, 2018. 15 comments were received. These comments may be found at https://mm.icann.org/pipermail/comments, the jurisdiction rex 14 November 17, though backslash. These comments were summarized by ICANN staff in a quote-unquote comment tool spreadsheet, which may be found at insert link, which we will do. These comments were each duly considered and discussed by the subgroup. Where this led to a change to the subgroup's consensus, the draft report was then changed to reflect the new consensus.
So I see Tiago's hand is raised. Tiago, the floor is yours. Or if you're using the same microphone, I'm sorry, Benedicto or Tiago, I'm sorry.
Good morning, everyone. Tiago speaking for the record on behalf of the Brazilian government. I would like, first of all, to thank the rapporteur, the chairs of the CCWG for the work we have put into this report as we attempt to complete it within the appropriate delays and deadlines. My comment, if I may, will try to bring back one of the suggestions that I put to the subgroup during our last call. And the suggestion that I made at that time, for those who were unable to follow it, was to add a final paragraph to this summary part in which we explain that several comments that the subgroup received relating in particular to the need for the discussion on jurisdiction to continue at another process, for those comments to somewhat be reflected in that summary part. As you can see, the very end of the summary refers to the comments that were duly considered and that eventually led to changes in the report. But as you all know, many comments that the subgroup received, to my understanding, was not as thoroughly considered as others, particularly because the subgroup felt that they were already addressed by the subgroup's suggestion that there would be a need for further discussions to be taken at a different time. So in respect to these comments that echoed many of our concerns, I believe it would be appropriate to add another paragraph to this description part in which the subgroup acknowledges that many comments were received expressing the need for further discussions on jurisdiction to be carried on, but the subgroup did not consider them in detail because there was this feeling among the subgroup members that those concerns had already been somewhat addressed since the subgroup included the reference for this need for further discussions to happen. Otherwise, I believe that this description is not completely accurate, particularly because it ends with a reference that all the comments were duly considered. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Tiago. Now, this was discussed in the sub-team already, and we have a typical way of dealing with public comment, and usually public comment, unless it warrants changes to the report, is not repeated in the body of the report, but it's made reference to in the public comment review tool. So when Tiago made his suggestion, this was discussed in the sub-team, and the sub-team ended up with the report in its current form. So just in terms of clarifying what we are doing today as a plenary, the question to the plenary, both on site as well as remotely, is to see whether Tiago's repeated request to put more substance of their comments into the body of the report, which has been refused by the sub-team, is supported by the plenary so that the report is changed. Right, so let me pause for a moment and see whether this suggestion gets traction. We see a queue forming, so there's Milton and Cavus. Milton, let me ask you up front, you made a comment in the chat. If you plan to speak to the qualified term, I would suggest that we go to that later and deal with this first. If you want to talk about Tiago's intervention, please do go ahead. Milton, over to you.
Yes, for the record, Cavus Araste speaking. I am now commenting on comment. I have supported that comment before, and I fully support that now, that it needs to be further discussed in plenary. And I would like to add something to what he said. Some of the comments were considered briefly, but due to the fact that the commenter was not a member of the team, were not able to defend what they have sent. And in the group, unfortunately, due to the circumstances, they were not properly taken into account, because there were already some objections not to take them into account. So comments like this from Russia, from France, and a few others, they were not fully considered and they were not taken into account. So I fully support Tiago's intervention and adding that this should in no way be interpreted that we criticize a very good work done by Greg. We appreciate very much what he has done. I have appreciated at the meeting, and I repeat that appreciation, but the circumstances did not allow to take the views of those that I mentioned into account, and that's the circumstances unfortunately prevail in ALTA. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Cavus. Next in line is Greg, and then we'll move to Jorge.
Thanks, Greg Chatton, for the record. I just want to reiterate, perhaps in some more detail, what the process was that we used with the comments. Each of the comments was kind of chopped up a bit into the constituent topics and then placed on a big spreadsheet, which we called the comment tool. This allowed us to compare the portions of the different comments on the same topic, each to the other. So we had this, and then we color-coded it to indicate whether we felt it was supportive of what was already in the comments supportive of what was already in the report, or at variance with the report in some fashion, or otherwise. And then we ran through, read through each of the comments equally and gave each of them the same amount of consideration. Some of them inspired more discussion in the group than others. Some, after those discussions, did not cause changes to the consensus, and others did. but it was certainly my goal and my impression after we were done that we had given equal, full, and due consideration to each and every one of the reports or each and every one of the comments. I would expect that the decision of the subgroup not to include this comment meant that I was not mistaken in my impression of our work. It would be rather a failing to have glossed over any comments. And if I recall correctly, because of the overall nature of comments that are being referred to, they were actually coded red, which meant that they were not merely supportive of their report, which meant that they probably got more consideration than the those that were, for instance, coded green. So that's the way that we proceeded. Of course, you're free to discuss this change as that's in our work, but I did want to give you my summary of how I believe and recall that we proceeded. Thank you.
Thanks very much. We have more comments, so Jorge now and then David.
Thank you and good morning to everyone. I have perhaps a certain perception that we are talking across each other, and because if I look into the text that was proposed by Thiago as the final compromise proposal for this comment, I see very much of a factual reflection of some of the comments that were basically made by a number of governments that went on the question of further discussions and mentioned also especially the question of jurisdictional immunities. And in the comment and in the note proposed by Brazil, it is just stated, which I think is factually true, that these comments did not bring any changes to the report and they could not be considered in detail because, amongst other things, we were bound to certain time constraints. So I think that really I don't see the issue with adding this or a very similar text, and that's why I just wanted to repeat for the record that I was in agreement with that addition. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Jorge, David?
Thank you, Thomas. This is David McCauley speaking for the record. I rose, put my hand up to support what Greg said and to underscore the idea of consideration of comments. And I would like to note that when I was participating in the jurisdiction subgroup, as I did, I read the tool that was produced and I read the comments as well. And I think other participants may have done the same. And so the fact that there was some silence in some respects doesn't mean comments were not considered. And I was fairly silent. I made one or two comments, fairly silent along the way because I thought that the right result was being done. I think in sum, it's good to note that the final report contains a suggestion for further jurisdiction discussions. That's a concept I didn't support, but I'm a member of the group. I recognize that's part of the report. It is what it is, and it's in there. Asking for the concept of immunity, I was just reading the paragraph that Thiago put in the chat. The concept of immunity should now be explicitly stated. That's part of the reason I didn't make comments along the line is because immunity was not stated. And there is a risk in giving direction or suggested direction to further discussions of calling out the idea of immunity. Those engaged in further discussions can decide their agenda. But immunity is a concept that needs to be approached carefully, because immunities can undo the accountability measures that we have put in place for the last 3.5 years. And so that was the reason for my caution. And so I want to support Greg, and I would simply say I'm not supporting an additional paragraph. Thank you.
Thanks very much. David, we have Tiago or Benedicto back in the queue.
Thank you. Tiago speaking for the record. I hear David's concern, and I would be, we would be happy to strike out the reference to immunity in the paragraph that we suggested. We believe that the substance of it would still be an accurate reflection of what happened, and we don't need to give specific examples of what were those substantive comments that were received and eventually did not lead to any changes, nor could be considered in detail during the third group work. Having said that, if I can make another suggestion to the chairs regarding the procedure that we may follow in order to eventually accept the inclusion of the suggested paragraph, perhaps Greg could help me here as well to remind everyone of how we came to this situation. During our last call, I did suggest the inclusion of an additional paragraph very late in the call, but to my understanding, my suggestion received active support from some participants, myself, the representative of Switzerland, the representative of Iran, and other members, which I see as traditionally opposed due to their own reasons to our proposals. They did not manifest any strong objection to it. They even suggested that it would only be necessary for my proposal to go to the list to get the seal, the stamp of approval. But then, according to the rapporteur's understanding of the rules of the process, it would be necessary active support from the majority of subgroup participants. We know that at this very late stage of our work, everyone is a bit tired. They are not following as actively as they were in the beginning of the process, the mailing list. So what I would suggest for us to do here is to see whether there is any strong objection, and then we apply the same standards that we have been applying to other suggestions for changes in the report. That is, if there is a sufficiently strong objection to the text as suggested, then it wouldn't and shouldn't go to the report. And we would be, again, relying on those rules that would require strong objection, which is not just the objection of one or two, or even the objection of the rapporteur, which I understand should keep doing his excellent job as being a neutral participant when it comes to appreciating the level of consensus within the group. Thank you.
Thanks, Tiago. Before I respond, let's move to Greg, and I guess we can then close the queue on this point.
Thanks, Greg Shatton. A few things. First, we did take a consensus call out to the group, and the consensus was not to accept this. Second, there seems to be some difficulty in perceiving when comments are actually supportive or not. I think, in particular, the comment about taking it to the list was made by David McCauley, who has indicated he did not support the inclusion of this statement. And frankly, I've noticed a continued inability to note when statements that are made are actually supportive of comments or not. It's unfortunate that we have to distinguish between those who are perceived to be in support and those who are actually in support. It's better to let people speak for themselves. So, in any case, there are a number of substantive issues with this suggestion. It's while these are stated as facts, I find them to be factually inaccurate. Statement on, in particular on jurisdictional immunities, which I acknowledge Tiago already said he would withdraw, If you read into the rest of the report, you'll see that it actually does not say anything about, in particular, on jurisdictional immunities. It only says, as an example, there were discussions of limited, partial, relative, or tailored immunity for ICANN that did not come to conclusion. The statement that these could not be considered in detail is incorrect or inaccurate. I did not find a belief by others, perhaps other than those who were essentially after the call already had broken up, supported this suggestion. As I said before, it was my intention that we give every comment an appropriate amount of detail or a similar amount of detail. I believe that we succeeded. If that's not the case, then perhaps we should reopen our work, because that was certainly the intent. And there, as to the understanding that there was existing, because there was existing support for further discussions in the document, that we could not consider them in detail, there was no such understanding in the group. There was just the general understanding that comments that took a position that was consistent with the report did not change the report and would not be mentioned, and that generally speaking, as was mentioned, we don't discuss what the comments themselves say. We just change the report, because the report is our recommendations and the report is a summary of our work. The comments are included and they speak for themselves. So that, you know, with that, I think it's, I would not support this. I believe that it's not an issue of neutrality to wish that the work of the group is factually, accurately considered. And finally, I would mention that the no objections process is really used when we already see strong support or appearance of strong support for a an addition, and not as as this one, where there still seem to be significant disagreements, and indeed where the consensus of the group, of at least of those who responded, was that it should not be accepted. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Greg. So actually we have additional individuals who want to speak. So we have Cavus, and then I hear that Dalila wants to speak. So Cavus first, and then Dalila.
Yes, Cavus Aras is speaking. I don't think that Greg is required to defend what he has done. Nobody criticizes him. We appreciate what he has done. But the question is that during the last 4 years, we have had several areas of and you have been successful to find a middle ground. Once again, I request the chair of the CCWD, anyone at this stage now is Thomas, to try to find some sort of middle ground to take into account suggestion from Tiago that I could also support, and I include those people supporting his first proposal, supports the second proposal as well, and to find a way to include that. There is no need to say that who is right, who is wrong, and there is no need that anyone take a particular position. Particularly the chair of the group need not to take any position at all. Just conduct the meeting. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Cavus, and maybe we can have the technical folks try another line for Cavus. I'm sure that he will make more interventions. This is extremely difficult to follow. So not for now, but maybe for, maybe we can redial him in or so and try to improve that. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. Cavus, I've just spoken to our kind technical support, and they said that you are participating from a mobile phone, which causes connection issues. If you have a landline phone number that you can share with staff, that would be great. We would then try to dial you in via landline with a more stable connection. Great. Delilah?
Yeah.
The floor is yours. Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So just a short comment. So we think that to have a very complete report reflecting the different point of view, we are convinced of the necessity to add the paragraph underline the necessity after the work stream 2 to continue the work as there is no consensus and a very strong different point of view on the report. Just supporting what it has been said by Brazil and Thiago, we have to give more details for the direction for further discussions and guidelines. That's why we support the suggestion to add a specific paragraph on this view. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Delilah. Do we have any further comments on this topic? I see Christopher Wilson. Oh, it's good. The discussion is going on. Christopher Wilkinson, wherever you're sitting in this room, I saw you earlier. There he is. Chris, please.
Thank you. Since this is mainly a discussion by members of the GAC, I would defer to Olga and take the floor subsequently.
I hadn't even seen you raise your hand, Olga. What a pleasant surprise. Over to you.
Sorry, thank you very much. Just to support what the colleague from France have just said, adding that paragraph. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Steve Dobianco. Steve.
Thank you. I would like to maybe ask a colloquy of Thiago, because I want to understand the broader context here. We are attempting throughout many of these editions, to give full acknowledgement of the points that Brazil had made when it objected to the subgroup report. And there's a separate thread about whether we are following process correctly at the approval of proposed editions. Let me set aside the process point. That's a very complex one. But just in the broader context, are you suggesting that if we add the text, the paragraph that you've got here, that Brazil would then become satisfied that the subgroup report, while not exactly what you wanted, would sufficiently acknowledge Brazil's concern to the point where Brazil would support, or at least not object, to the subgroup report once this paragraph were added? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but personally, I need to understand where this gets us, in your opinion, if we add the text. Does it get us to where Brazil is okay with the report? Thank you, Thiago.
So maybe we hear Thiago immediately, and then I would like to make some to share some observations on the procedural aspects with you.
Thank you. Thiago speaking for the record. Thank you, Steve, for your question, which is appropriate indeed. I think I've expressed the answer very clear, perhaps not as clear as you would have wished during our last call. The reason why Brazil is suggesting the addition is in a very constructive spirit. We all know that the consolidated reports will go to the SOs and ACs once the CCWG harmonize the different reports. And it was in the spirit of been very constructive that we suggested the addition, because we know that once it goes to the GAC in particular, those governments that submitted comments to the subgroup, they will ask the question, what was done to our comments? And perhaps by looking at the addition, they will feel satisfied. They might not oppose the report if they see the added text. Brazil, however, will continue expressing its opposition, so we have our views, which were clearly stated at ICANN 60 and annexed to the report. But again, it was in the very constructive spirit, because we are not alone in this process and we acknowledge the weight of opinions that other governments and other participants in general may have once considering the substance of this report. And we believe that it would be a positive step towards getting approval of the report, even if the approval doesn't come from the Brazilian government. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Thiago. Now, let me try to explain our thinking in terms of process a little bit. There has been quite some talk about no severe objection and support, and I think this discussion is probably a little bit all over the place. Let's try to focus on where we are. We have a subgroup that has produced a report. That report has gone out for public comment. The group has reviewed the public comment and then come up with a consensus report that they put in front of the plenary. So there is a consensus report. The question for this plenary is, do we need to change what came out of the subteam? And whether or not changes to the subgroup's report are warranted depends on whether this group would actually vote the subteam's report up or down in the absence or presence of additional changes. So now I think the question to be asked is, does a request for change of whatever nature that might be get so much support that it warrants for the report to be changed? And if it warrants a change to the subteam's report, then the question is, can the plenary just do that on the fly, or do we need to send it back to the subteam for further work? I understand that this subteam, and I couldn't follow the last two sessions because I was sick, this group has gone great lengths to strike a very fine balance of what's acceptable to everyone. As you will remember, we did an extra session at ICANN 60 to put all the concerns and comments on the record as an additional repository of information. So whatever changes we're making now do need to have very strong support in order to be honored. And then that begs the question, how do we assess whether there's a lot of support for a change or not? And what I've heard so far is that we are basically relitigating the points that have already been exchanged at the subteam level. So what we would really need is additional people and, more importantly, more groups to support such change in order to sort of undo the subteam's consensus and rework it. Right? So I think if we're doing cosmetic changes with no changes to the substance, I think in the spirit of collaboration to get this done, this is something that probably this plenary could do. If we're talking about changes getting a lot of support in this group that change the substance of the report, I'm afraid we would need to send it back to the subteam for further work. We can't just do that on the fly here. Right? I see that Christopher has been waiting patiently, so we hear Christopher now, then Steve, and then Greg.
Thank you, Chair. Christopher Wilkinson for the record. And as a preliminary, let me thank and congratulate the subgroup for its massive achievement in many other areas of this particular issue, with which I take no issue, and I think particularly regarding the sanctions, the report is extremely useful. In response to David, I've also been relatively silent in recent months for several reasons, but partly because I feel that the subgroup on this particularly institutional and high-level international political issue, the composition of the subgroup was lacking, and particularly that we were confronted with a rather small sample of what is, in my experience, undoubtedly a very widely held political opinion about ICANN and about internet governance internationally. To take a colloquial expression, this report will have legs. Tiago has already outlined the legs it will have in the GAC. It won't stop there. So I would add my voice, if only to countervail David's point, I would add my voice to support the position that Jorge and Diego have outlined. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Christopher, Steve.
Steve Del Bianco. Diego, thank you for the reply. And I appreciate the clarity that you brought to it by suggesting that even with the addition of this text, quote, Brazil would continue to oppose the subgroup report. And I believe that's what the transcript showed you. Brazil would continue to oppose the subgroup report. An active opposition on a issue about which Brazil is an articulate and passionate leader will certainly be influential with other members of your constituency in the GAC. And yet, when Thomas asks us as a matter of process, would the group support the additional paragraph? Quite frankly, it doesn't cause a dramatically substantive change to the recommendations. But to gauge the level of agreement and support in this consensus building process, we obviously look to see whether the addition would be seen as a positive and pleasing step to those who are advocating for it. And the indication is that you would continue to oppose it. And that undermines the ability for us to suggest, yes, it's time to make a concession that gets us to consensus, which is really the only way this process has worked for 3 years. So the opportunity doesn't have to turn into Brazil suddenly supporting all of the recommendations in the report. I see that that's not likely. And yet, to drop opposition to the subgroup report would at least indicate that you believe the subgroup report accurately reflects an acknowledgement of the views, even if the consensus of the group didn't agree with those views as its recommendation. So I appreciate the clarity that you brought there, but with the clarity that you would continue to oppose, it doesn't really provide an incentive for the group to try to accommodate that extra paragraph in the interest of consensus. Thank you.
Thanks very much. We have Greg, who is patiently waiting.
Thank you. Greg Shatton again for the record. First, I'd like to point out that the section we're discussing is entitled Overview of the Work of the Subgroup. This is not, in fact, any recommendation in itself, and nor is it a place to try to underline or change the perception of the recommendations. It's merely a tale told by weary travelers of the route that they have journeyed together. So I have suggested some different text, which I believe would be factually accurate. I'm not saying I support putting it in, but at least wanted it to be on the record. That text reads, for example, the suggestion added to the report that further discussions of jurisdiction-related concerns are needed, echoed in several comments subsequently received. But these comments did not bring any changes to the report, since existing support for, quote-unquote, further discussions to address unresolved concerns, including in other fora, had already been acknowledged. So, that I think would reflect the work we did to indicate that we somehow did not reflect things in detail, or that there was some sort of understanding by which we would not reflect them, would not actually discuss them in detail, is to my mind kind of casts aspersions on the process, I do think that that would not be accurate. I really did strive to give equal access and time to every comment, and on the second reading we spent additional time on those that were not merely indicating support to the proposal, and I believe that these actually fell into that category, although on this particular subpoint they did in fact support the report. Last, we should consider if we're going to cite these comments in particular, are there other comments that we should start discussing as well, which it's, I don't know that there's a particular reason other than the reason Tiago cited to, give extra acknowledgement to certain comments over others, which also came out of groups that worked hard to produce those comments. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Greg. We have Cavus, Tiago, and then Jordan. Cavus, the floor is yours. We have you on landline now, so the sound quality should be far better. Over to you, Cavus.
Yes, ich hoffe auch. Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, is this feel better?
Yeah.
We're just having a little chit-chat in German now.
Okay,
so.
Thank you very much. Yes, first of all, I think there should be no pressure from anybody at this meeting to push a particular person or person or government or entity to reconsider its position. It is up to that entity, listening to the discussions and the environment and the spirit of collaboration and principle of universality, to consider if they want to make some changes to what they have said. So there should be no pressure at all. So I don't think that that is a good path. Number two, what Greg said, the first part was almost in a good direction, positive, but it was neutralized by the second part that he added. Perhaps this time, the suggestion of Steve would be that Tiago and Greg perhaps should get together, providing a better language, but not saying something in the first part, as Greg said, and neutralizing or negating that in the second part. So there need to be some massaging of what Greg said. The current statement by Greg is not acceptable to me, at least as a participant, but it has a good direction. It's a good way. It's a way forward, provided that it be modified by Tiago and Greg together. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Cavus. Maybe just to add to this discussion about putting pressure on Brazil, I didn't understand Steve's question as imposing pressure on Brazil. I understood it to be a request for clarification on Brazil's position. So if that reading is inaccurate, I think Brazil can speak for itself, but I think there was no intent, or I didn't hear any intention to make Brazil change its mind. So, now my machine has hibernated, sort of. It's back again. I see Tiago's hand is raised, and then Jordan.
Thank you. Actually, this is Benedicto for the record. Actually, part of what I wanted to say has already been said by previous interveners, and I see the value of the collective wisdom that emanates from these meetings in that. One point I'd like to, the first point is that I think it's important to note and to reiterate that Brazil is not against the recommendations. We are not, we do not like to be seen as opposing the individual recommendations. We are in, unfortunately, in a position we have to object the report, not because we don't like the recommendations that are there, but because we think the absence of one, the most important issue to be addressed is not there. So it's not, again, because we could not live with the recommendation. Actually, we think they would provide benefits and should be indeed accepted, but because of the lack of the gap in the report. The second point I'd like to make is that, I think that was already made by others, is that we are not changing the substance of the report. There are some recommendations, there is an expression of a minority opinion that does not support the report. So this did not change in relation to the comments that were made in the public consultation period. So we, I think the concern expressed by the chair is not, I'd say respectfully, in discussion. We are not changing the substance. We are rather discussing among ourselves how to document the process and to reflect on paper the comments in an appropriate way. And I think by doing this, we should not be thinking about a trade-off among ourselves, because I think, I don't think we need any side would need to have an incentive to document duly what has taken place. We are just looking, the addition that was proposed was just the intent was to document appropriately part of the discussion that we thought the overall language that was there before did not do in appropriate way. So this is just for the record of our position. And having said that, I'd like to comment that the effort that was done by the rapporteur to try to reflect on that and to come up with something, I think this is very positive. I think it goes more or less in the same line we have thought. We think we, if the group wants to entertain that kind of language, we'd like very much to have an opportunity for that to take place. We think that could provide a way out of that discussion. Again, we are just discussing how to document, how to memorialize. We are not changing the substance, but I think the starting point for all of us is very clear, and we are not changing that at this moment in time. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Benedicto. Jordan.
These are just my question really almost to Tiago as a participant. This has nothing to do with the fact that I'm a co-chair and sitting up here, just to be clear. So an earlier version of this report added the section about further discussions of jurisdiction-related concerns. So we know that that's included and that's consensus, so that's fine. Then this red text that's on the screen in the room, that sort of documenting of the process, does note that there were comments received, they were worked through. And then Tiago's first presentation of some additional text sort of honed in a bit on jurisdictional immunity-related issues and suggested that there weren't, that they hadn't all been fully considered. The second text left that off, and so it became a process discussion or difference of views between Greg and Tiago. So that played out. The text that's on the screen now, and the end of it, because it goes over a long page break, does talk a bit about the process and the consideration. So is the issue that, so as someone who hasn't followed this closely, I'm just trying to understand what the actual issue is, because what it looks like the report text already says is that the comments had, earlier comments had led to the change to have further discussion, and then where the comments hadn't been led to changes in the report, there are no changes in the report. So really my question is, are you confirming, Tiago, that it's the second version of your statement that you're seeking some views about, or is it the first one that included the link to immunity?
Tiago, would you care to respond?
Yes, Tiago speaking for the record. Thank you for your question, Jordan. I appreciate it. Bring some clarity to the discussion. We indeed dropped the reference to immunity in our second proposal, and we would be fine just referencing what we suggested should be referenced without the mention to the word immunity, if that's clear enough. Thank you.
Jordan, would you like to get back in, or no? We have a few more edits to the jurisdiction report to discuss. So let me try to take stock of where we are. I do not see overwhelming support or very substantial support for the inclusion of the original Tiago statement for the moment. I also do not sense an appetite for the plenary to send the report back to the sub-team for further work, letting the timing issues aside. But even Cavu said there is in the chat that he doesn't want to have it sent back. So I guess that what we're stuck with is a lot of willingness inside this group to try and understand, like from Steve and from Jordan and from others, to understand what the pressure points for Brazil and its supporters are. And I can also sense a willingness to include some clarifying language that does not change the substance of the report. The question is, can this group come up with a set of words that can please everyone? So I think we should probably spend another 5 minutes or so to try to see whether we can find something that everyone can live with. And what I hear is that, you know, there are parts in what Tiago wrote which are uncontroversial. There are parts in what Greg said which are uncontroversial. If we had more time, I would be inclined to send Tiago and Greg out for a few minutes. No, I mean, seriously, because, you know, they've been in it for so many hours. And maybe what we should do instead is let us witness how these two fine gentlemen can probably bridge the gap. So if I may, let me try to suggest we take maybe your first part of your suggestion, you know, the one that has been applauded by Cavus, and then maybe Tiago can add a second part to it, which can sort of fill the remaining gap. So, Greg, can you repeat for us the suggestion that you made?
Thank you, Thomas. Actually, in the chat, we kind of had advanced discussion a bit, not with Tiago, but with Cavus, who indicated that he supported the first part, but not the second part of my intervention or suggestion. So my revised proposal would be a shorter statement, which I've put in the chat. For example, the suggestion added to the report that further discussions of jurisdiction-related concerns are needed was echoed in several comments subsequently received.
Tiago has raised his hand physically in the room for the remote participants. Tiago, is that something that you can live with, or Benedicto?
Tiago speaking for the record. I will accept your invitation to add the second part of this glorious paragraph that we will be adding to the report. And I'm picking it from Greg's suggestion initially, a more expanded version of his suggestion, in which he already took away certain elements that he did not like in my text. So I will read it as a whole. It would start like this, repeating what Greg has suggested. Further discussions of jurisdiction-related concerns. No, sorry. Delayed. Could you please read your first paragraph, the start of your first paragraph? Thank you.
Thanks. I've just put it in the chat. I believe this is what you're referring to. It's the long-form version of my proposal. For example, the suggestion added to the report that further discussions of jurisdiction-related concerns are needed was echoed in several comments subsequently received, but these comments did not bring any changes to the report, since existing support for further discussions to address unresolved concerns, including in other fora, had already been acknowledged.
Tiago, just go ahead. You know, I play this between between yourself.
I'll read it out loud then. I would keep your initial sentence and add a slightly different second part to it, and it would read like this. The suggestion added to the report that further discussions of jurisdiction-related concerns are needed was echoed in several comments subsequently received. These comments did not bring any changes to the report, since the need for further discussions to address unresolved concerns, including in other fora, had already been acknowledged.
This is Greg Chatton. I would support that.
Now, that was quick, wasn't it? I think we need that in writing. Do we have it in the chat already, Tiago?
I've just pasted it out of the transcript into the chat. It's all in capitals.
Okay, so what you see in green and in caps lock. So let's take a minute for everyone to go through this.
And Tiago's got the same language in nice, not capitals. So
the word "and" needs to be changed to "any" in there. Any unresolved concerns.
So this seems to be a version that is agreed between Tiago and Greg. I honestly don't know whether the three hands from Cavus, Greg, and Tiago had been old hands or new hands, so please lower your hands if they were old hands. And let me read this into the record again so that everyone can fully understand the text. The suggestion added to the report that further discussions of jurisdiction-related concerns are needed was echoed in several comments subsequently received. These comments did not bring any changes to the report since the need for further discussions to address any unresolved concerns, including in other fora, had already been acknowledged. So I see that Cavus's hand is still up, so I trust it's a new hand. Cavus, over to you.
Yes, new hand. It is good. We are almost there. I suggest that we replace "since" by "recognizing that." Not "since," recognizing that instead of "since." Thank you.
Thanks, Cavus. I have a hard time understanding where we are now.
So I think Jordan, just to be a Cavus whisperer for a moment, what that would mean, the sentence says, if we adopted Cavus's suggestion, it would be like this. These comments did not bring any changes to the report, recognizing that the need for further discussions to address any unresolved concerns, including another fora, had already been acknowledged. I take back what I said in the chat. It does make sense, and it doesn't make any substantive change, recognizing that instead of "since."
Oh. I'm okay with that version as well. I'm okay with either version. Greg Chapman.
Okay, so we have a compromise text on the table. Now, isn't that great? That's real-time collaborative drafting. You know, that's something that you can hardly find these days. Okay, so I don't see any objection to that. We are not yet there to approve or refuse the overall report, so I suggest that we keep this and let Greg move on with the remaining changes to the report.
Thank you. Now, where were we? We now launch into the actual recommendation section of the report. Many changes here echo changes you've already heard about. So, for instance, on page 14 of the red line that I have, the footnote 9 has been added after, in particular, these issues have been raised in relation to U.S. government sanctions. And the same footnote that appeared in the summary appears again. In the future, if ICANN is subject to other similar sanctions, e.g. similar in scope, type, and effect, and with similar methods of relief for entities not specifically sanctioned, the spirit of these recommendations should guide ICANN's approach. The next change of substance.
Greg.
Yeah.
I apologize. We had asked Milton for patience with his comment. So, Milton, sorry for neglecting you. Not sure whether you're still online with us. But why don't you make your point now before we get much further away from it? Milton, the floor is yours. Over to you. Yes, you can be heard. Fire away.
All right. So it's a very simple point, and not terribly important considering all the stuff we've been through, but we noticed that on pages 4, when you talk about the registrars, you say that ICANN should use best efforts to secure an OFAC license if the other party is otherwise qualified. And then 2 pages later, when you're talking about registries, you have replaced qualified with would be approved. So we just thought that should be consistent, either return registries back to otherwise qualified or make the same modification in when you're talking about registrars. So probably uncontroversial, but consistency would be important here.
Craig, over to you.
Yes, let me explain why the inconsistency is there, and we can decide whether it makes sense or not. It has to do with the process, the difference in process between the registrar accreditation process and the registry application process. If I'm factually inaccurate, please let me know as well. My understanding is that the registry accreditation process basically requires that the OFAC license be requested pretty much toward the earlier part of the process, because it begins with the agreement to terms and conditions between the applicant registrar and ICANN, and therefore it's too early in the process to actually ascertain whether the potential registrar would be approved. However, with regard to the registry application for new GTLD registry, the point in the process where ICANN would apply is later in the process, and at the point where it is clear, or should be clear, that otherwise the applicant would be approved. Thanks.
Milton, back over to you.
I thought he was going to say something like that. Basically, I'm just for the most general obligation on ICANN to apply for the OFAC license. So it seemed to me originally that the word qualified was the most general and should be retained in both instances. But I could go with approval in, you know, I don't think it's that significant to make the change. It just, I just want to make sure that we have the strongest possible recommendation regarding ICANN's requirement to seek an exemption. So I think it would be nicer to have a consistent use of the word qualification, but I'm not going to die in a ditch over that.
Great. Thanks, Milton. We have Steve's hand raised.
Thank you, Thomas. Steve DelBianco. In the chat, I pasted a link to the ICANN process by which a party would try to become an accredited registrar. And the very first section is on qualification criteria. Much later, it gets into approval. And I personally don't know at what point they begin to write checks to ICANN or ICANN begins to interact with that potential registrar. But clearly, there's qualification, and there's a 4 steps of qualifications that are right in here. So I do agree with Milton that the word qualify can work there. And if necessary, we could even link to this page so it's clear that in both cases, qualification seems to be the first hurdle that a party has to reach, so that we're making it clear to ICANN that our recommendations are that they should
obtain the OFAC release, obtain the sanctions relief more generally, at the earliest point necessary to begin to interact with these parties. And qualification seems to apply to both. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Steve. And Milton, for pointing this out. I understand Milton is not willing to die in the ditch over it, so that's good. I understand Milton wants the report to be nice. I think we all prefer a nice report, but the outcome of these groups is not always nice. And I've witnessed lengthy debate about this set of words, so I suggest we then leave it as it is for the sake of making progress and not reopening that. So over to you, Greg, for the next part.
Thank you. I think Steve just said something that was important, which was that really what we're aiming at here either way is that ICANN should work on the OFAC license at the earliest appropriate time. And the issue is how we characterize what that time is, and perhaps we got caught up in minutia by talking about qualification or approval, and we should just say that they should secure an OFAC license at the earliest appropriate time in the process. I don't know if we want to think about that for a little while. Maybe come back to that for our second reading, because I think worrying about how this ties into the minutia of these two processes is probably a rabbit hole. The next changes, let's see, I've lost my place a little bit. Apologies. I believe the next changes are, we're not on page 5, definitely not. No, we were on 14 and then 15, 16, or really back to the same issues. We have some of the footnotes that are crossed out and then re-put in are just moved, so we're not going to review those. Page 20 is actually the next change. And this is, in fact, the change we're talking about. The last sentence should be amended to require ICANN to apply for and use best efforts to secure an OFAC license if the other party would otherwise be approved as a registrar. And I think this is actually a mistake because it should be qualified to match what was in the summary, which I think goes back to my other point, which is that perhaps a higher level statement that they should apply at the earliest appropriate point might be better. The next change after that, that is a real change, not just a function of redlining fun, is on page 21 in the middle in the recommendation, where it says ICANN should commit to applying for and using best efforts to secure an OFAC license for all such applicants. And here we're talking about registry applicants, if the applicant would otherwise be approved. More of the same. Then the next change after that, and this is a real change and not one you've heard before, is at the bottom of page 24 going to 25, after the three diamonds. Which reads as follows, when implementing each of the recommendations in this section, and the section it's referring to is the OFAC section, OFAC and other sanction, related sanctions section overall, when implementing each of the recommendations in this section, they are utmost importance to ICANN in carrying out its mission and facilitating global access to DNS should be considered. Taking into account this importance, the implementation phase should start as soon as possible, but in no event later than 6 months after approval by the ICANN board. I don't see any comments on this other than my own hand, which was an old hand. So let's move on. Page 26 has no changes whatsoever. How wonderful. After that, the next changes, 27, are just from artifacts of redlining. Next actual change is on page 29, echoing what we already heard in the summary. At the top of the page there, the method of choosing from the menu also needs to be considered. The subgroup recommends that the registry choose from among the options on the menu, i.e. the choice would not be negotiated with ICANN. It's once in the summary and once in the full text. It made it a particular joy to go through the Workstream one where it said the same thing sometimes four times, but I digress. I believe, let's see, what else do we have?
Greg, usually you can only afford that type of repetition when you're paid by the hour, right?
I'm paid by the brilliant thought, so it really doesn't matter. The next change then is on page 27. We may have skipped this. Page 27, a statement after the menu discussion, the subgroup recommends that the registry choose from among the options on the menu, i.e. the choice would not be negotiated with ICANN. So that is one more time we say the same thing for emphasis. Then after that, we have the further concerns, further discussions of jurisdiction-related concerns section, which did not change. And then after that, we have the insertion of stress tests. Stunningly, these were originally drafted by Steve Del Bianco, but they have now been adopted by the subgroup as if they were their own. I'll read this somewhat quickly, since we've fallen behind a bit. Stress tests. Stress testing is a simulation exercise where plausible, but not necessarily probable, hypothetical scenarios are used to gauge how certain events will affect an entity or system. In the financial industry, for example, stress testing is routinely used to evaluate the strength of banks facing plausible scenarios of external crises. Stress tests are used to assess how recommendations would improve ICANN's accountability. When faced with plausible scenarios that impose stress on the ICANN organization and community, an improvement in accountability can be seen when comparing the status quo with the structures and processes that would result from implementing the Workstream 2 recommendations.
Greg, since you're drinking now, shall we not read through everything? I think the concept of the stress test has been known. So, any questions with respect to the stress test? I don't see any hands, so let's then move on.
Okay. Thank you. This is, in essence, a stress test to see whether the stress test can exist without being read in full. It seems we've passed that test. And that actually ends the report.
Great. Now, we will break for coffee for 15 minutes after we do the consensus call. So just so you know, you were not going to discuss diversity and other topics before we break for coffee. We had a good discussion about this report. So I will now ask for objections from the plenary to the Workstream 2 jurisdiction subteam report, including the compromise additional text that we collaboratively drafted this morning. Again, the question for you now is to do nothing if you are happy with the report, including the additional text. If you reject the overall report, you need to raise your hand now or better use the red tick mark in the Adobe room. So you only need to take action if you object to the overall report. And I see that Benedicto's hand is raised. Do you want to speak or just put your opposition on the record?
No, just for clarity and to reiterate what we said before, we have expressed our opinion in regard to the report, in the minority opinion, and it stands. So if you are asking whether we confirm our position as expressed in the minority statement, yes, we do. So therefore, we object to the report in its present form. Thank you.
Okay, so we will put your objection on the record. Any further objections to the report, Delilah? Do you want to speak or just file your objection?
It's just to underline the fact that the statement proposed by Brazil was for France, in his point of view, underline some critical view, and we want to support it once again. And that's why for us, if you ask about today supporting the recommendation of the report, we are not able to support it.
Okay, so we also note an objection to the report from France. So we have France and Brazil objecting, Argentina objecting as well. Any further objections? For the remote participants, please do use the red tick. I see Cavus's hand is raised. Cavus, please. Oh,
yes.
The hand is lowered again. Now it's raised again. Cavus, please.
Yes, I also object to the report.
Okay. Thank you. Let me pause for another few seconds. Okay, there are no further wishes to speak, nor do I see any further objections. So the subteam's report is approved with the first reading. That's great. Congratulations to Greg and team. So that's good news. As you know, we're going to have a second reading. We do know that Cavus will probably not be present for the second reading. So Cavus, is there anything else that you would like us to put on the record and read into the record when we get to that second agenda item, the second reading?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Cavus.
Yes, hello. I don't object to so many feedback. I don't object to the report anymore, apart from what I did, but with respect to the footnotes on the... On the best effort, I am not happy with the footnote because there are many qualifiers in that footnote.
Okay, Cavus, sorry for interrupting you. I guess what we need to know from you is, do you object to the entire report? You can just say yes or no to the entire report. If you have additional remarks to make, you can do that with the minority.
I don't have additional remarks to make. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that an objection or not?
No additional remarks.
He's already objected.
Okay. Thanks very much. Thanks very much for that. So we will take good note of your objection. So with that, thanks, Greg, for showing us through all the changes. Thanks to everyone for a very collegial and productive meeting on this. We're now going to break for coffee for 15 minutes and then reconvene. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. Please take your seats. We'll kick this next session off of Workstream 2 deliberation. The next item on our agenda is the second reading of the final Workstream 2 recommendations on diversity. So I'll just keep talking for a little moment while people grab their seats and people like Robin Gross stop talking in the corner and Greg Shatton and all these troublesome people who don't want to come and grab a seat. Nothing personal, guys. I just recognize you. And presenting for the second reading these diversity recommendations is Fiona Asonga, one of the rapporteurs of the group. So, Fiona, please take us through that second reading, and I encourage you to refer to the red line version of this document, and I'd invite the staff to pop the red line version up in front of us and to follow through as Fiona takes us through it. Fiona, over to you. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. This is Fiona Asonga, for the record, taking you through the second reading of the diversity recommendations. Thank you, Jordan, for the opportunity. I will go through to page 4, where we begin to make changes, where we have the recommendations. So page 4. As a recap, for those who were not able to join us in the first reading, we received a total of 72 comments. Out of the 72 comments, 9 of them were able to impact on the recommendations that we had provided. And so 4 recommendations received changes. Some were significant changes, others were editorial, small changes that have changed in the recommendations. 30 comments touched on important issues, but these issues have to do with implementation. And as a subgroup, we agreed that we were not going to get involved in the implementation issues. And so we have kept those 30 comments as issues for us as a subgroup to carry forward to the implementation and as areas where we will discuss when we are looking at implementation issues. And the other 33 comments, the group felt that they were not in line with the approach that the group wanted to use and were not agreeable to the subgroup and therefore have been recorded as such in our schedule of comments. Now, when we look at recommendation 1, we made an editorial of adding the word should. It previously read, SOs, SEs, and groups agree that the following 7 key elements of diversity should be used as a common starting point for all diversity considerations within ICANN. We changed that to SOs and SEs and groups should agree. So we added the word should, which is we consider a minor adjustment. There were no changes to recommendation 2. Excuse me. On the next set of recommendations that are measuring and promoting diversity, we have no changes on recommendation 3, no changes on recommendation 4. Then we have a change on recommendation number 5, which read previously, each SO, SE group supported by ICANN staff should undertake an annual update of their diversity assessments against their diversity criteria and objectives at all levels, including leadership. They should publish the results on their website and use this information to review and update their objectives and strategies. That is on page 4. And this has changed to read, each SO, SE, or group supported by ICANN staff should undertake regular updates of their diversity assessments against their diversity criteria and objectives at all levels, including leadership. And we added in, ideally, this update should be carried out annually, but not less than every 3 years, and this is to accommodate the fact that there may be groups, SOs, SEs, that are not able to do annual updates, but handle a number of their review processes in a 3-year cycle, so as to accommodate them appropriately. So we hope that that covers, so far from the subgroup, it does cover the requests from the and input from the public comments. And the first reading, there wasn't an issue on that. Then we move to recommendations that supporting diversity. Recommendation 6 had no change. Recommendation number 7 does receive a change. It changes from ICANN staff should develop and publish a process of dealing with diversity-related complaints and issues to ICANN staff should support SOs, SEs, and groups in developing and publishing a process of dealing with diversity-related complaints and issues. And this came from public comments that indicated that it was the SOs and SEs that were going to be the ones in handling a lot of the diversity-required issues, and therefore ICANN staff who support them should be able to continue providing that support, as opposed to the staff then developing and publishing processes for the SOs, SEs, and groups within ICANN to use. Then recommendation 8 also had some changes. It previously read that ICANN staff should support the capture, analysis, and communication of diversity information in the following ways, and we listed the different ways there, but we added in the need for external expertise to be included, so ICANN staff may be able to reach out for external expertise where they feel that they may not have that resource within their skill sets of ICANN. So it now reads, ICANN staff should support the capture, analysis, and communication of diversity information, seeking external expertise if needed in the following ways. Create a diversity section on the ICANN website. Gather and maintain all relevant diversity information in one place. Produce an annual diversity report for ICANN based on all the annual information and provide a global analysis of trends and summarize SO, SE, and group's recommendation for improvement where appropriate. This should also include some form of reporting on diversity complaints, and it should include diversity information derived from annual diversity reports in ICANN's annual report. So those are the changes that have taken place in the recommendations. And then we had indicated in our report on page 12, there was a note when this went out for public comments that read, a number of CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 diversity subgroup members thought this insufficient and believe that it is essential to establish an Office of Diversity. The role of this office would be to independently support, record, and keep track of issues, including complaints from the community on diversity issues within the organization. The proposed office, being a very specific structural adjustment to the organization, did not receive consensus from either the diversity group or the CCWG plenary. However, further input and comments on this matter from the wider community is welcomed. And we did receive comments on that, that the subgroup discussed. And as a subgroup, we did not seem to have sufficient consensus for the office of creating an office of diversity, because it was considered as an implementation issue. And it is one of the things we have put in as high ranking in the implementation that needs to be considered and discussed at the implementation stage on whether there is going to be an office of diversity, or the second option we received from the public comments, that was to have an independent organization reviewing ICANN's diversity. So we received those two options, and we've not made a decision on any of them as a subgroup. Or I'm reporting it wrongly. I think we did receive two options. One was to have an independent entity review and analyze ICANN's diversity, and the second one was to have the Office of Diversity within ICANN. And then there was also the position where there are those that did not want the Office of Diversity. So those being the three positions on the Office of Diversity, we have left the issue of the Office of Diversity as something to be discussed, to be considered as an implementation issue, if it has to be done. It cannot be done as a recommendation, and as such we have put that as a footnote on page 12, and the footnote reads: a number of CCWG accountability workstream two diversity subgroup members thought this insufficient and believed it was essential to establish the Office of Diversity. The role of this office would be to independently support, record, and keep track of issues, including complaints from the community on diversity issues within the organization. The office was envisaged as being a very specific structural adjustment to the organization, but it did not receive consensus from either the diversity group or the CCWG plenary. However, further inputs and comments on the matter were sought from the wider community, which did not yield sufficient support to include these as a recommendation. So the Office of Diversity cannot be included as a recommendation, and if it has to be considered, because we discussed and agreed it is an implementation issue, it would have to move into that discussion. And those are the changes within the diversity report. And therefore, I'm opening the floor for further comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Fiona, for that run through. And there is a speaking list already in the Adobe room, so we'll be working through that speaking list. The first comment is from Caboose Araste. Caboose, please go ahead.
Thank you, Fiona, for the report. Unfortunately, I was not in a position to participate at your activities. However, with all thanks, I think the first change that you have made, replacing would by should agree, seems okay. But the word should agree is not a proper term. I suggest to replace that by should take into account the following seven and continue. We never say somebody should agree, because you could not force to somebody to agree. You should put in a sort of operational aspects, asking to take into account, but not to saying that they should agree. Thank you. And I have another general comment that I put in the chat. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose, for that suggestion. We've noted it. There would be basically a small grammatical change that would improve the readability of that part of the report. We will move to the next speaker, who is Alan Greenberg. Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Alan Greenberg speaking. With regard to the requirement that ACs and SO publish reports on diversity, did the group consider privacy implications in that? Even if data is anonymized, some of these groups are small enough that you cannot hide who it is you're talking about. And I'm just wondering to what extent you considered that in light of the focus within ICANN of GDPR, which is not just a who is issue. Thank you.
So that sounds like a question for Fiona. Was privacy considered?
We did have a brief conversation on privacy, and even had ICANN staff who's responsible for collecting information. I can't remember the title, his title, but he did come in for a call with us, and he explained how they handle data and how ICANN handles issues of privacy, and we were comfortable as a group with his presentation. And he shared with us some slides on how they go about it, which gave the group comfort that then the data collected would be handled and in the same manner. But that was before we had the GDPR announcements. Since the GDPR announcements, we've not yet had a recap of that discussion, and maybe we need to. So it's good that you raise it, Alan, because we may need to go back to ICANN staff and see how the internal policies on data handling are handled, because we ask that we adhere to existing policy on data handling.
Have a follow-on?
If you must.
Very quick. 2 points. Number one, if things were being done on an ICANN-wide basis, the anonymization, I think, would be quite sufficient. But if it's being done on an ACSO basis, we're dealing with small people, and if you're giving age ranges and things like that, that is personal data. Number two, ICANN standards for handling data at this point, by my estimate, and I'm not a professional, do not meet a lot of our privacy regulations. So careful what we say about established process. They themselves may not be sufficient.
Look, I think one of the comments I would just make is that in implementing all of the Workstream 2 recommendations, we have to be cognizant of applicable law and make sure that we're complying with it. So I think that privacy concerns are a key one, given the heightened focus on privacy caused by the pending implementation of the EU's GDPR and other reasons. So I think it will be taken into account. Thanks, Alan. The next person in the speaking list is Sebastian. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Jordan. Sebastian Bachore. I know that I vote for this report, and I will again, but I have still a big disagreement, and I want to express at least two of them. The first one is that even if recommendations 6, 7, and 8 are written at the same way, the ICANN staff is in recommendation 8 already way of implementation. It's not the same for the previous one, because it's ICANN staff will help SO and ACs, and that's a normal role of the staff that we underline here, that they have to do something specific regarding diversity, and it's why it's in the report. In the recommendation 8, it's just to say that they should capture, they should support the capture and so on and so forth. I will not read it again. I think it's already a decision of who will do that, and from my point of view, it's an implementation decision that must be taken later. The second point regarding the way it is written, the comments on page 12 is that we talk about the organization within the organization, and I don't know if we are still using the word as CEO is using it, or is it another way to use it here as ICANN, the full ICANN? If it's the first one, no, definitely the proposal, the first proposal of the Office of Diversity was not a proposal to change the organization, as it was specifically mentioned that it must be independent from all part of ICANN. Therefore, it was never been submitted as a proposal to change the organization as it's meant by the CEO. If it's not the same meaning, then we can discuss it again. I will stop here. I really think that there is some work to be done, and as soon as I will be released with my hat of a rapporteur of one of the subgroup, I will come back with a suggestion on how to deal with that and with other issue from at least one other subgroup to try to find a consensus. I really feel that we may have tried to done, I would say, a better work. I don't know if it's the right term, nothing against the people who have made the work, but to try to find a consensus and not to say we don't have consensus. That's what we try to do with the jurisdiction. I think it could have been done, and it still could be done with other part of our work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian, for that. That kind of, is there any response you want to make, Fiona, to that?
I think from the onset, and I don't think it's only my understanding, the subgroup understood the role of the Office of Diversity to be a position we are creating within the ICANN organization to facilitate the different activities. It is only later after the public comments that the idea of having an independent office came forward. And even that independent office has not been clearly explained on what and how it's supposed to engage. And that is why also, again, it didn't receive any traction in terms of moving forward with an independent office or an existing office within ICANN. And so when you explain today and say it was supposed to be independent and out of, it's still not what the group hasn't understood and has not been able to get clarity on is what is this independent office out of ICANN going to do, and how will it be established, and how does it report, and to whom does it report? And that...
Please forgive my rudeness in interrupting you. I don't think we need to get into those implementation details because the consensus of the group has been to not proceed with it. So if the consensus of the group had been to proceed with it, then those details would have needed to be fleshed out, which is why, reminding you all that this is a second reading, a second reading isn't usually the chance to reverse a decision that was taken and agreed in a first reading. So I just wanted to put that context around the discussion that we're having now. This is a chance as a second reading for any last points to be made, because if we don't approve a second reading here, then there aren't going to be any of these diversity recommendations in the final report. This meeting is where the train stops. So that's just where we're up to in the process. The next speaker I'd invite is, not in the Adobe room. I've got the order wrong. After Cheryl, we'll have Dalila from France. So we'll come to you in a moment. Cheryl, you're next.
Thank you, Jordan. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. I did put my hand up early on, and I must say both Julie and I were concerned that the text here is not, by our belief, in keeping with what we are supportive of, and that is the current recommendations that we're doing a second reading of. So thank you for your intervention as well, Jordan. I was concerned, and I may not be the only one in the room, that was concerned that there seemed to be some sort of softening on what was the consensus outcome in terms of the proposal of an Office of Diversity or indeed independence. So providing that we are clear and that the transcript captioning text here is not seen as a softening or a proposal to soften what is already the consensus, I think we're comfortable. We certainly wouldn't be comfortable if there was a proposal on change. And, of course, I could also point out that the ALAC's statement on at least what they got when they reviewed their member opinions is not counter to that as well. So I'm certainly supportive of a second reading as she is writ. Thanks.
Thanks, Cheryl. Just to be clear about the process that we're going through, we're confirming what's in the text, and the dialogue and transcript of this might provide some context because it's a discussion and we're all people. That context may clarify things. Sometimes it may unclarify things for a while, but the decision is only in the text. The next speaker is Dalila. You've got the floor.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank the rapporteur because it was not something very simple to find the consensus about the recommendation. I have one comment and one suggestion. For the comment in the footnote, I see that the idea of having a supervision instance or office of diversity I not feel sufficient support, but if I see the public comment, we have the large majority of the comment about the Office of Diversity in favor of this recommendation. So I don't find this very, I don't find that this sentence reflect the reality of all the public comments. Secondly, my suggestion, I prefer to replace this footnote by an annex about the Office of Diversity because I think it is better for further, like, for further a publication for the people who want to see what is this Office of Diversity, what are the proposition. I think it is better that, than this footnote. Thank you.
Thomas just wants to make a point briefly about the process, and then I'll take Fiona. Thomas.
Yeah, I see us embarking on a substantive discussion on the report, and we're in the second reading. When we invented the concept of two readings, that was primarily in order to make sure that those who are missing one meeting don't find themselves in a situation that the group has made a decision on something that they also want to chime in on. Right? So we already had that first reading, and the second reading is just basically to give those who want to object to the report an opportunity to do so. I don't see any procedural way for us to reopen the substance of the report at this late stage. That's just my five cents.
And just before I... Oh no, Fiona, you go ahead.
I just want to comment that the Office of Diversity was never a recommendation, even from the onset. We never listed it as a recommendation. And even at this point, when we were discussing it, we went for public comments to see if we could get enough traction from the community for it to be a recommendation. And we did not, because the comments that came through from the chartering organizations and from the different government and different entities that participated.
We're back. Thank you.
Hey, big hand for the tech folks.
Quick rescue. Fiona, do you want to keep going?
Thank you very much, Jordan. So as I was saying, the Office of Diversity was never part of the recommendations. And even at this point in time, it is not part of the recommendations that we are tabling. We went for public comments. We didn't get enough traction from the public comments to include it. And we discussed about the weighting of the public comments, how we weighed them. And it wasn't based on number of comments. It was based on a number of issues that the subgroup had discussed and agreed on to be considered. And it is not a recommendation we are tabling. And that is why we have put it aside as something to consider on implementation, because it touches on structural changes of the organization.
Thanks, Fiona. The next speaker is Cheryl, that's your old hand, isn't it? So I think you're up to Jorge.
Hello. Thank you, Jordan. Jorge Canci for the record. And first of all, apologies because I haven't been able to follow this specific discussion in such a detail, but from reading this footnote and recalling some of the comments in the public comment phase, it seems that the footnote starts from the premise that there is a kind of dichotomy between either not making any change regarding external oversight and the very specific institutional solution of the Office of Diversity. And it seems that no middle ground solution was sought, or I don't know if that was the case, in the following sense. The Office of Diversity, let's say, is a very specific institutional solution, but the idea underlying some of the comments, including mine, in the public comment period was that all these recommendations are very good, but it would be even better if we had some sort of external or independent assessment or evaluation of how these recommendations are implemented. And that could be drafted in a very, let's say, institutional, neutral manner without prejudging how this would be done, only, let's say, encapsulating the thought that those implementation efforts may require, or it would be good that there would be an external independent assessment of how that works. So my question, and again with apologies for not having followed this as closely, is was this thought entertained that in a very open manner the recommendations could include this idea of an external assessment or evaluation, and also the question whether we are still in the position of including this thought in the recommendation. Thank you.
Fiona.
Thanks, Jorge, for your question. In response to whether we have included the thought of a review or analysis of the diversity recommendations and how they are implemented, yes, we have. And that is why in Recommendation 8, we talk of there being a diversity report that feeds into ICANN's annual report. Through that reporting mechanism, then we will be able to assess and see, because when the ICANN reports go out, we do give public comments. As long as ICANN maintains a mechanism where we have public participation through public comments and engagement in that interaction. As a subgroup, we believe that it will be possible for us to then review the performance of diversity, and we shall then be able to know whether it is the appropriate time to put pressure for an external review or for an independent additional review of whatever reports will have come through from the existing recommendations. And the other second thing you need to remember is we have said it is an implementation issue. It means your views were considered, and it has, your views have been captured as an implementation issue that can be considered when that discussion is taking place. So we did not ignore them, and we did not discard them. We have considered them. It's just that there is not, the views that came in on that Office of Diversity were not many in that, and significant from the right SEs, SOs, and groups, because there has to be a balance between the chartering organizations as well as other public comments for it to carry substantial weight to create a recommendation. So there's no recommendation as of now, as at this time, as we move forward on creating the Office of Diversity in any form. Thank you.
Thanks, Fiona. I just want to remind people again, this is second reading, so there's a chance to make any comments required. We've got two people left on the speaking list, and to be clear, the speaking list is now closed because we've only allowed 15 minutes for each of these second readings, and this has been about half an hour. Caboose, you're next. No, we're not hearing anything from you. So, okay, it may be an old hand. Thank you, everyone, for those comments. As I've already noted, they go on the record. This is a second reading for this set of the part of the report, which is on diversity's final recommendations. So at this point in the discussion, what I'm asking for is, are there any formal objections in the room for us finalizing the second reading? Are there any formal objections? If you're in the Adobe room only, please issue us with a red cross to indicate such an objection. If you are physically in the room and not in Adobe and you want me to note your objection, please wave your hand vigorously. And at this point, I see no red crosses and no vigorous waving. So I will deem that a second reading of these diversity recommendations and ready for inclusion in the final report. Thank you, Fiona, the other rapporteurs, the subgroup, and everyone who's made comments today. Some of the implementation detail and process we'll be picking up in an agenda item later in this meeting. Thank you very much.
Hello.
I will just be handing...
Hello?
Ah. Caboose, hello?
Yes, hello. I have a general comment and I wish to be included in the report of this meeting. It is in the chat.
Caboose has made a general comment that I think he wants read into the records. He's noted that from the very beginning he was of the opinion that the implementation of these recommendations would be extremely difficult due to the subjective nature of the criteria suggested. These criteria are mostly of theoretical and idealistic nature and may not be implementable since many other entities try hard to take the same course of action but were faced with certain difficulties. So apologies to the transcribers for reading that much too fast, but Caboose, that's now in the audio record and it will be in the proper transcript.
I have amended that. The second one, amended that. Please read the last one. Thank you.
I think what we'll do is we'll ask the staff to copy and paste from Caboose out into the notes of the discussion. So thank you, Caboose, for drawing our attention
on
this point. And with that, we'll close this agenda item, and I will pass the chair now to Tijani to do the Ombudsman final recommendation, second reading. I just want to reiterate the point. We will finish in 17 minutes for lunch. This is a second reading, not a first reading. Please keep that in mind in the nature of your interventions and suggestions. There you go, Tijani.
Thank you very much, Jordan. So the next agenda item is about the second reading of the final recommendations of the Ombuds Office. And Sébastien is the rapporteur of this subgroup. Sébastien, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Sébastien Bachelet speaking. Hello, everybody. Second reading of this report. I just want to remind you that this report is just part of one bigger document. It includes also the report made by the external reviewers, and it's very important because in the report we just take the recommendation and we try to adapt them with the current situation of ICANN, where one of the requests was sent to us that please don't do don't do any change on the bylaws, and we rewrite the recommendation. I don't think we change it so much, but we rewrite them to allow not changes in the bylaws. And the third part of the document, it's of course all the answer that the subgroup have made of the comments, the public comments we received. There are very few changes, and I will try to go directly to them. On page 5, we just changed the place of the word ideally. The second is that we add, it was coming from the comments that the extension or eventual extension of the current the ombuds at the time of the extension as possible will be done after discussion with the community. Then community-based feedback mechanism to the advisory panel covering ombuds performance over the previous years will be seek. And next changes on the same page, page 6, it's just to go from an English word to American word and maybe other country English word. And the last changes, it's to emphasize that there is no, even if the ombuds participate to helping to set up the scene for any policy discussion, they are not at all supposed to participate in the content of the discussion, and they can't be in charge of any seal of approval by or stamp of approval, sorry, by the ICANN Ombuds Office. And I guess it's the only changes. Those changes are repeated in the core of the document, and I don't think that there are other changes in the core of the document. Once again, these documents is with attachment of the external review of the ICANN Ombuds Office and the answer from the public comment. Thank you very much, and I am ready if you have any question to answer. Question if I am able to do. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sébastien. I have David McCauley. You have the floor.
Thank you, Tijani. This is David McCauley speaking for the record. And I'd like to make a statement about recommendation number 4 in the report on behalf of the registry stakeholder group, which I am the member in the accountability group of. And so I'll read it. With respect to recommendation number 4, I underscore my understanding that the Registry Stakeholder Group fully intends to cooperate with and support the Office of the Ombudsman in discharging the important mission of that office as set forth in Bylaw 5.3. In our public comment, the Registry Stakeholder Group noted that it must retain discretion to, 1, allocate its resources, including volunteer time, as it deems best in balancing important calls on its input, and secondly, decide which information and records, if any, are necessary to respond to ombudsman requests. While the registry stakeholder group has not yet had time to formally evaluate the ombudsman final report, it's probable that the registry stakeholder group will reiterate these points in its role as part of the GNSO, one of the CCWG accountability chartering organizations. That's the end of the statement, but I would like to add this is not an objection, something that we will pursue in the implementation phase. Thank you.
Sebastian.
Thank you for the comment, and I hope that you will not be the only group who will follow the implementation of this important topic. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? I don't see any. Farzana.
Thank you, Farzana Badi speaking. I just wanted to record my objection to the report. This is a personal objection, and I do not think that we have considered in the report adequate measures for independence of the office. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other objection? Any other comment? I don't see any. So, considering that this is the second reading of this these recommendations, and I see there is only Farzana objection on the recommendations, we can consider that this second reading, this these recommendations, are, there is no objection on them, and so they are accepted. Yes, Thomas?
I just note that, Robin, you have supported Fazi's objection. That means that you also want to be added to the list of those objecting, right? Okay, so formally we have two objections.
Okay, so two objections. Thank you. Okay, I think we are done. And the next agenda item will be with Thomas Ricketts. And it will be about staff accountability. Thomas.
Thanks very much, Tijani. And quite conveniently, I have somebody who's able to speak to the recommendation sitting right next to me. So, Jordan, would you like to show us through the changes?
Yeah, and I'll just make a thanks to Sebastian for all of his work as the rapporteur on the ombudsman work. Right, now, co-chair hat off. Pro-tem, temporary, non-rapporteur, rapporteur for the staff accountability, second reading. I would refer you to the red line document that is the second reading, that is the final recommendations, the tracked, well, it's actually a blue line document in the version I've got, showing the changes from the previous one, taking into account the public comments. I'm not going to take you through the header material, those updates to the formalities of the report, and I'm not going to take you through the non-existent changes to roles and responsibilities. We will just focus in the second reading on the recommendations, which in the PDF start on page 8. The changes begin with the part B of recommendation 2. And recommendation 2, if you like, is looking at guidelines for timeframes for acknowledging requests. And this is the, it turns into at the end, so if you go over the page on the screen, so the top of page 9 in the PDF, oh, there we go. The top of the next page. This was taking into account feedback on the idea of seeking community member input into performance reviews of staff, and it was just putting a bit more context about it, making it clear that it needs to be well managed, because what no one wants to create is a difficult environment for staff in genuinely seeking constructive feedback. So that is what those amendments are that several lines of text does, as outlined in the first reading on the call a couple of weeks ago or last week. Another significant change made was to remove the reference or suggestion of a panel being created. That didn't sustain enough support in the public comment process, so
as briefed last time, has been removed from the recommendations. And then what was recommendation 4 now becomes recommendation 3, and that all looks like new text for you. If you scroll down to the next page, please, top of page 10. And that one is in red. And it was just so messy that we just ended up all being clean text. And this one, the sort of suggestion of service level targets and guidelines that define services was one that received strong support across the community, but some pushback from the ICANN board that said it didn't want to maintain that relationship with the community but didn't suggest an alternative. So what we've done is try and the board also expressed some concerns about the workability of this, i.e. was the community looking for service levels from everything from the standard of bottled water that we get to the timeliness of responses to yada, yada, yada. So they're worried about the scope of it. So what we've tried to do with this revised wording is to just narrow the scope to be clear there's going to be an implementation process to identify the classes of service which these targets and guidelines should happen. And so on, implementation underway this year. And the idea is not to create new contractual service level agreements with contracted parties. This is just moving to a more transparent and open recording of what people should expect from ICANN organization and doing a bit of measuring of it. So overall, the group did come to consensus around this. There were no objections raised in the first reading. So I'll hand back to the co-chair to see if there are any speakers or any questions on this.
Yeah, in fact, we have a clear queue at the moment. So for those who want to speak, please do raise your hand. So that does not seem to be the case. So with that, we can move to the second reading. Let me ask whether there are any objections to this report. Any objections? I don't see any hands raised, nor any comments in the chat. And with that, we have our successful second reading. Congratulations to the sub-team. Thanks, Jordan, for showing us through the changes. And I think we can give 5 minutes back to the group and have a slightly longer lunch break. For those who are not in the room, you will not be able to have the same food as we do. I hope that you're going to have some food at home or wherever you are. Enjoy, and we will reconvene in 65 minutes. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.